Good evening, everybody. We are looking at Parshas Ekev this week, and generally speaking, if we use the term Dveikus BaHashem, it comes off as like a more fluffy, mussary kind of word. But this evening, we're going to explore the mitzvah that is found in this week's Parshas Ekev. And we're going to learn that Dveikus BaHashem is a mitzvah. We'll try to define it from a very halachic perspective. And we'll really try to really understand, let's say, three different approaches to what it means to actually get close to Hashem. So hopefully we'll try to get there. Get a little closer to Ribono Shel Olam. And I don't mean to downplay any of the more modern colloquial associations of Dveikus and meditation, all those things. I'm not downplaying that. But we're going to start at least with a more traditional view. And then I guess maybe what we could speak about, you know, the concepts that are a little bit more contemporary. All right, so what does the Torah say in this week's parsha? Two times. As Hashem Elokecha Tirah, so you should fear God, also Tavod, you should serve Him. Paradetically, right, that is the makor, the source for the mitzvah of the Araisa of Tefillah. Ubo Tidbak, and to Him you shall cling. So there's a mitzvah to cling to Hashem. Ubishmo Tishavan, in His name you shall swear. So we're not going to get into that, but they very much might be connected. The concept of swearing in the name of Hashem and clinging to Hashem, but we're not going to talk about Shavuos. And just a parak later, the very end of the parsha, the Torah states, you should keep the mitzvos. And how does the Torah conclude? Laleches b'chol derachav uledov kobo. To walk in Hashem's ways and to cling to Him. To cling to Him. So let's try to figure out what does it mean. So logically, right, the Gemara is very bothered by how this concept can even be fathomed. I mean, you can't even try to understand how does one cling to Hashem. The Gemara specifically asks that the Torah says, "Ki Hashem lekecha eish ochla," the, you know, Hashem is compared to a consuming fire. So how can you connect to a consuming fire? It's just not something you want to connect to. So here's the Gemara's answer. Ella, rather, kol ha-meisi bito l'tamar chacham, if you marry off your daughter to a tamar chacham, va'osa pramaktia l'tamid chachamim, or you do business with tamid chachamim, or le'ay, maybe for tamid chachamim, va'mahana tamid chachamim min achasav, or if you offer a tamar chacham from your nechasim, so if you have a connection to a Vermont house, and you give a tamar chacham some free houses on Vermont, not, you know, winking to anyone in particular here, obviously. So, ma'ale alav ha'kazuv ki'ilu medabek b'shechina. So, i.e., that is the way to connect to the Shechina. By, again, marrying off your daughter to a Talmid Chacham, doing business with a Talmid Chacham, giving benefit from your property or your, you know, something that you own, you benefit a Talmid Chacham. And we also find the concept, the Gemara is basically repetitive when it comes to Avas Hashem, and basically the Gemara repeats itself. That's a nice idea, no? So what do we see from that Gemara? That the mitzvah of getting close to Hashem is performed via getting close to Tamidei Chachamim. Oh, very good. That's a fantastic point. It says, Stuart, not getting close with Tamidei Chachamim. The Gemara doesn't say to what? Befriend the Tamidei Chachamim. Rather, it says the more you kind of interact with him. Or you're saying...
Well, the first one is you become his father-in-law, right? So then
you're helping him big time there.
No,
right?
No, but you're also connecting to him, right?
Right, that's
the
true.
The other two, you're just assisting.
Doing business for him and giving him is just a one-way street. Right, so that's a loaded gemara, meaning when I give a Talmud Chacham something of mine, so saying, what am I getting out of that? And how is that getting closer to him? So even though Stuart's right that it doesn't necessarily connote a relationship, I would imagine that what the Gemara means, though, is that all of these would lead to at least a closer relationship. And even though you might technically be able to just give him something quickly and run away or do business with him quickly and never really deal with him, but my understanding is that the more you deal with him on a financial level, and you're gonna have a connection with him.
Well, I think the person who gives more also gets back.
Right, so by nature, right, anytime you give, right, the nature of giving, right, you're always going to get something in return when you give. And if you give it to a Talmid Chacham, I think the Gemara seems to assume that just by giving to him, you're going to have some form of connection. But Stewart's right that that does require a little bit of explanation as to, well, you know, if that's the main idea, the Gemara maybe could have elaborated on the relationship. The Gemara doesn't elaborate on the relationship. It just says, give him stuff. Yeah. Yeah. But the other two are not.
Right.
I know. So you want to say that maybe the first one is like the main idea. Very good. All right, now the Rambam actually has a little bit of a unique formulation in this Gemara. He doesn't quote it verbatim. So number one, the sixth mitzvah in the Sefer Mitzvahs is this mitzvah. The sixth mitzvah in the Targum Mitzvahs, in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs, is lidabek im hachachamim. Now that's a very interesting term there. There it is. See, that's where we're coming from, that the Rambam doesn't say give Talmid Chachamim presents, rather just to cling, lihidabek with Talmid Chachamim, ulihisyached imahem. So that's a different language already. Ulahasmid b'yishivasam. So now the Rambam is black on white, that one should really become close with them, have private encounters with them, sit with them, and then the Rambam expands it, ulhishtat evim b'chol ofen, and to literally partner with them in any such manner. And if, for example, he gives b'maychal of a mishteh, even eating with them, drinking with them, ube esek, or then he whips out the, you know, economic factor to doing business with them, in order the damos b'maaseihem. And now we have something new all of a sudden. You're going to what now? Begin to imitate their actions. Ula ha'amin ha'deos ha'amitiot midivrehem. So by having a close relationship with these Talmid Chachamim, you're going to learn from their ways, and it will get you on a proper path. And that is the way you get closer to Hashem. Just by having a relationship with the Talmid Chacham, he's going to rub off on you. And the more you become like him, the more godly you will be. Let me think. Right? All right, we can relate to that. You know, I think, and just to prove that the Rambam Shita is the way I just explained it, that was the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Now, the Rambam's own original language for the Sefer HaMitzvos was Arabic. And this is a Hebrew translation. Just to see the Rambam's own writing in Hebrew, not that we're going to really learn so much more from this, but in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav Halacha Beis, so the Rambam just formulates this on a halachic level, and he writes again, mitzvahs esei lidabek b'chachamim v'talmideihem. So there he adds one new factor. So cling to talmid chachamim and their talmidim in order to learn from their actions, and again, because of this week's parsha. And then I underline one end of the Rambam over there. He says, ulhitchaber lehen b'chol minei chibur. So connect to them in whatever way you can. And here's the one line of the Rambam Sefer Yad HaChazaka that I wanted to elaborate on, because he says there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that really speaks to this theme. What mitzvah would you say, which Mishnah in Pirkei Avos best captures this idea? I would have said, Aseh Lecha Rav. But it's not. It's not the one that the Rambam quotes. This seems to be like, have a rabbi and get closer with your rabbi. But that's not the one he says. The Rambam says, you know, this is Mishnah Pirkei Avos. What is it? It's the one in the first parak. It's right, very, very close to Aseh Lecha Rav. Exactly. What does it say? That having misabig ba'afar ragleim v'shotze b'tzames divrehen. Wow. So meaning the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that what you do, become close to the dirt of the legs of the Talmid Chachamim and drink their words. So that Mishnah Pirkei Avos is not the same Mishnah as Aseh Lecha Rav. Aseh Lecha Rav is Talmud Torah. If the Rambam's own Perush HaMishnayos to Pirkei Avos, the Rambam's explanation of the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, Aseh Lecha Rav, is actually all about Talmud Torah. And the Rambam says, even if the rabbi is not smarter than you per se, try to learn Torah with him, because when you learn alone, it will be sloppy. You're going to mess up. And you can't really compare the level of your learning to when you learn alone to when you learn from another person. He says, "She'en limud ha'adam me'atzmo kelimud mizulaso, ela limudo mizulaso yoser kayim etzlo v'yoser mevuar." So if you have a teacher the Torah will be more clear to you. It will resonate with you more, and you'll remember it for longer. So that's Aseh L'Chorav. That is a completely different mitzvah. Yeah, have a teacher, have a rabbi to teach you. That is not this week's parsha. What we're speaking about tonight is a mitzvah known as Dveikus. And by getting close to this rabbi, you're getting closer to the Ribono Shelom. Does anyone want to formulate in their own words now what the Rama means? Because seemingly at this point, we know it's not Aseh L'Chorav, but it's still a little vague. Shemush.
Hanging out.
All right, so I think in this shul in particular, because we have the tremendous zechus of having exposure to a rabbi, Binyamin Yudin, I would say that Rabbi Binyamin Yudin is one of the rare rabbis who, if you spend time with, you know, you will learn so much just by seeing the way he conducts his life, right? But does anyone want to formulate this mitzvah in their own words? He's like hanging out, and therefore what? Hanging out and...
Exactly. He's soaking in their lifestyle.
Right. So, but what? How does that get you closer to Hashem? You know, I want to. What's there, it again?
Well, you don't have Hashem. You have the best substitute.
That's right.
So you have a choice. You can hang out with that element or a different element, a little bit below.
Very good.
So you should choose the upper.
And I want to now: is the godliness only Chesed? Like so Rabbi Yudin has people live in his home, literally, right? So what if you're not Rabbi Binyamin Yudin and you're Rabbi Marcus Rabbi Donath, you know, anyone who's a Talmud Chacham, right? You want to hang out with that person. So what are you going to pick up on? Because I could have understood this to simply be an educational Torah perspective. This is the way they do Netilas Yadayim. This is the way they make an Asher Yatzer. This is the way they bench. And it's still all halachic. Can anyone try to say that's Pshat of the Rambam against what I'm saying? That no, it's really all the way to practice Judaism's mitzvahs.
Well, but then there's the, you know, there's the things like Balakta, the Drachav, and things like that. So, and Kedoshim Tiyu. So it's not only Tariq mitzvahs, it's other things as well.
Right, and in fact, it's the same Pasuk even. In this week's Parsha, at the very end of the Parsha, it says hand in hand, Lalechet v'chol Drachav u'ledov gabo. Right, so another way to become like the Ribono Shel Olam, there are two ways, right? Cling to Tamid Chachamim and imitate Hashem himself. So the impression I got from this Rambam was that we're not talking about halacha. We're talking about a lifestyle, as Robert said, his midos, the way he interacts with whomever. So we'll have to come back to this, but this is explicit in the Ramban. The Ramban says something, and what we're going to have to figure out here is how to interpret the Ramban. Because the Ramban is not an easy Ramban. And they have to know, just a little bit of introduction, when we speak about the Ramban HaTorah, we're speaking about a crucial part of our Mesorah. The Ramban HaTorah is the main work for all of Jewish Machshava. There's a tremendous amount of Halacha, Kabbalah, and just information. And partially just basic pshat and how to read the Torah. So we're not talking about words that can be taken lightly. There are many, many svarim just to explain every word of the Ramban al Torah. So here's what the Ramban al Torah says in this week's parsha. He says, the Torah repeats in this week's parsha. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we could do the Ramban al Torah, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos comments on this mitzvah. So we said mitzvah in the Rambam, which mitzvah was the mitzvah Vav. So in mitzvah Zion, the Ramban is elaborating on that mitzvah about swearing in the name of God. There's a machlokas Rambam and Ramban about that mitzvah. The Rambam says it's a chiv, the Ramban says it's not an obligation. That's a side point. But here in that Ramban, in the Sefer Mitzvahs, he writes, do you know what Hashem's trying to tell us when he says, cling to Hashem, get close to me, you know, Dveikus? Here it is. Sheyirtzu bidveikus hazu, sheyitchaber l'chachamim, become close to chachamim, v'yilmod hachachamot hamo'ilot, and you're going to learn from these chachamim the wisdom that will help you do what? Now, this is a crucial end of a sentence we're about to read. He could say they're going to help you learn how to practice the mitzvos. How to, says the Ramban, li'ahava et Hashem yisbarach. To love God, v'laleches bidrachav. So black on white, the Ramban explains that this is not about watching how the rabbi puts his tefillin on. It's not about whether the rabbi looks down when he walks or he's looking up. By the way, when the Chafetz Chaim video came out, the video of the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, HaKohen, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, right? So one of the things I learned from watching that video, everyone, you saw that video, the Chafetz Chaim walking at the big Aguda convention in Europe. So he it's on YouTube. You can see the Chafetz Chaim himself. And one of the things that I noticed when he was walking is that he was literally looking down exactly like it says, and Shalom Aleichem, he himself in the Mishnah Berurah elaborates on, that when you walk, you should be like a little bit, your posture should be just a little bit downward, and your eyes should be, you know, a little bit angled towards the ground. So even watching the Chafetz Chaim walk for about 4 seconds taught me how to do that. And we don't practically do that, you know, necessarily. However, just to see how he walked, you can learn a halacha from that. And certainly there are refined midos, but it's an amazing, when you see someone of that godly nature, you have plenty to learn just from watching the man walk. But the Ramban is saying here, when you hang out, you see the lifestyle, it's going to be more about something to do with the way you love Hashem. It's a more all-encompassing concept. I think Robert's term lifestyle is the best way. Okay, now that's the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvot. The Ramban in this week's Parsha says the same idea. He has a very, very, very important point. And this Ramban will lead to two different avenues. We're going to see the more traditional view, and we'll say the Meshech Chachma's view. Here it is. Do you know what it means to become close to Hashem? So you always have to remember Hashem. By the way, last week's parsha was right. Right, and it's beautiful. I remember I learned it in the Sefer Chinuch. I'm assuming it's in the Rambam as well. Everything that you do in this world should be connected to Hashem, and Ahava, your Ahavas Hashem should be all encompassing. That everything you do in this world should be related to Hashem. And the Ramban elaborates in this week and says as follows: V'yitachin ba'anshe hama'ala hazot. These people who are on this lofty madrega, shetia nafsham gam b'chayim tsrura b'tsrur ha'chayim. Whoa. He's speaking about these individuals who are on a very, very high level. Kihim ba'atzmam ma'on l'shchina. Whoa. Meaning, he's speaking about people who house the Shechina in them. House the Shechina in them. And he says, by the way, it's just a cool thing historically to see, and he references the Sefer Kuzari. Sefer Kuzari was published, if I'm not mistaken, in the year 1140. Right? So we're talking about 12th century Gedolim themselves, and the Ramban had access to the Kuzari, which is just interesting to note. So the Ramban says the Kuzari has written about this, but if you look at that Ramban, you might come to conclude like the Ran. The Ran is a later Rishon. And according to the Ran, he elaborates on this concept. And I put this all the way at the end because I don't want to dwell on this point. But according to this line of Ramban, we're talking about not normal people, like very, very, you know, high-level rabbis. And when we speak about clinging to Chachamim, we're not speaking about necessarily people with smicha. Now again, Rabbi Yudin, that's why I gave that name in particular, because he's probably one of the few rabbis where if you just watch them, you'll learn. I remember my Rebbe from high school, I was once eating by him Simchas Torah night, and we were walking home from DRS. I was not in high school at the time anymore, but I was walking home with Rabbi Eli Storch. So he's like one of the major administrators in DRS High School in the Five Towns. And we were speaking about the rare Gedolim who you can just look at and learn from. So Rav Nevensal, it's like if you look at Rav Nevensal, just to see the way they carry themselves. And he said, Rav Yitzchak Kohn. So if you just watch them, you're going to learn just how they live their lives. And the Ran basically says a pretty, I guess, Kabbalistic idea that what the Ramban is speaking about, very rare individuals that are kind of like Nevi'im, because Hashem chooses those people to connect to the world via their neshamos. And they're on such a high madriga, so people around them, they get close to the tzaddik. The tzaddik houses the shechina. And the Ran says, it's not only when the tzaddik is alive. Even when the tzaddik is dead, their kever is a very, very holy place, and it's a place where you can access the shechina. So which community kind of paskin, so to speak, like this, Ron? This is the source for Hasidim, right? They view the Rebbe as the tzaddik. And the way to get close to Hashem is by getting closer to the Rebbe. You watch the Rebbe eat. You try to have a private meeting with the Rebbe. And the closer you can get with the Rebbe, the closer you get to Hashem. And even if the Rebbe is dead, you will, you know, find lines. I grew up in Queens. The amount of people that are at the Rebbe, the Lubavitch Rebbe that tells, oh, hell, all day, every day, 24 hours, is amazing. And people will travel to daven there. It's amazing the amount of respect that Hasidim give their Rebbe and the amount of Kedusha that is associated with those personalities. And there is a true, honest, firm belief that the closer we are to this man, the closer we are to the Shekhinah. And that is the traditional view. However, the limitation on this view is, well, what if I don't have a Rebbe like that? What if my Rebbe isn't the Lubavitch Rebbe? And even Rebbe Yudin, who is, by the way, apparently close to the Lubavitch Rebbe, he has a lot of pictures. Anyone know him? There are certain overlaps. He did. So you didn't grow up in Crown Heights. There are pictures of him and the Rebbe in his house. What? I know. I'm just saying, it's so classic. He wasn't in Lubavitch. Him and Chevy were in class together in Crown Heights in third grade. Yeah. Doesn't surprise me. That's why I laugh. Like, none of these things ever surprise me about Rabbi Yudin. But the point being is that if you look at this Ron, you're going to basically say, this mitzvah is not for me. And it's going to be very limiting because in the modern Orthodox community, the rabbi is analyzed by the board. And the rabbi is an employee of the shul. You know? Yeah, our approach to the rabbi is very different in our community. And for better or worse, you know, you will get to the end. You know, there is legitimacy in that, meaning the Lubavitch Rebbe was able to do pretty cool things that I can't do. That I think whatever it is I don't see the same things that he saw. Just to speak vaguely, right? I'm pro Lubavitch Rebbe. I'm pro, you know, especially I know whatever it is. I don't know. I'm just saying, especially in our community with such. Let's not get into that hawk, but especially in our community when you have such refined, people like Rabbi Newport, Rabbi Bergstein, you know, Lubavitch in our community in particular is such a mainstream shul in our community and such a part, you know, such a beautiful thing. And again, you could relate to this. All I'm saying is that this Ron is what Hasidim will do. That's all I'm saying. But let's not get any off topic. But you know, obviously there's more to talk about. But I specifically don't want to elaborate too much on that shita because it's limiting. Because what if I don't believe that the Rebbe is like the end-all be-all? You know, the rabbi's a human. And why you, in our community, the rabbi's a human. And he's a human. And, you know, you could find him in the park. You could find him at the Yankee Stadium. And you know, he's kind of like he's a Talmid Chacham. You ask him halachic shaylos, but he's also just as much part of the community, you know, as anyone else. So, here is the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma, Meir Simcha Vinks, 1800s Gadol. What an amazing, amazing Talmud Chacham he was. So he writes, you have to understand, this mitzvah specifically is elaborated on the Ramban, and the Ramban says that you have to become close to the people who are the own L'Shechina, right? Those unique individuals who have the L'Shechina in them, right? But as opposed to the Ron's interpretation, the Meshech Chachma says, "V'zeh ein miderech hamitzvah al romei hamale levad." He specifically says, "Don't be mistaken to think that this mitzvah is reserved for the people who are in this lofty madrega." That's not what it's talking about. Omnim lidati. The Meshech Chachma understands. He's going against the Ron. He says, "In my personal view, the mitzvah is a pratit koledet kol anshe ha'uma. Every Jew can do this mitzvah, kol echad lefi orcho, everyone on his madrega. V'zeh ma shalom matzano b'torah rak remazim aleh, V'zeh inyan habitachon. Totally new pshat in the mitzvah. We learn the Rambam, we learn the Ramban, we learn the Ran. They all pointed us to connecting to higher individuals. Connect to someone higher than yourself. Says the Meshech Chachma, no. This is just another way of saying have bitachon. What does it mean to get closer to Hashem? He says, well, there are different levels of bitachon. And when you have bitachon, you're going to live more with Hashem. And he gives an example. He says, let's say you have a woman who trusts that her husband will take care of her. She trusts the husband. She trusts him, right? Shaky bitachon, but bitachon, right? That's what he says. He says, what's a higher madriga? A son to a father. The son knows his abba is going to take care of him, right? And he actually gives the mashal of a son whose father is the king. The wife trusts that her husband will take care of him. But the kid knows his father will take care of him like he knows like anything else in the world. And when we trust Hashem, so we have the bitachon that Hashem cares about us like a father cares about his son. And when I'm going through something, Hashem is going through the same thing with me. He is with me in my tzar. B'chol tzarasam lo tzar. Pasuk on Yeshayahu. And Hashem is going to protect us. And that's what it means. Ubo tidbak. When the Torah says, connect to Hashem, it means have in your head that Hashem is with you. Totally different pshat than everything before. So how can we justify this Meshech Chachma, by the way? So what do the Meshech Chachma mean? Is he not against the Gemara? Didn't the Gemara say that what? That it's about connecting to Talmid Chachamim?
But what is Talmid
Chacham? Ah! So what's Talmid Chacham? So now,
someone who's called a Chacham.
Good. Yeah. So you want to say that anyone can be a Talmid Chacham?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. No, we know, yeah, that's not good.
But I've heard, I've read this, the Rav said this in different aspects, that we don't have Nevuah today. So what's the substitute of Nevuah today? Maybe we're not talking.
100%. Yeah, you're right. In this week's parsha, that's elaborated on in the Rav's Chumash. So the Meshech Chachma, at least the way I understand it, putting all these sources together, is like this. When you watch a Talmid Chacham live, you're going to see them live a lifestyle completely with Hashem. And the way it rubs off on you is that you're going to have a higher level of bitachon. Right? What does it mean to watch the way Rabbi Yudin lives? You're going to watch him live a life with Hashem. You know, I remember giving Rabbi Meir Goldwicht Shlita a ride to a wedding. The man lives with God. He's a godly man. And when you see that, you're going to live with God also. And it's not the concept of, you know, maybe like the Ran was like, you know, you go to the Shechina. Sort of, you know, the Talmud Chacham is a tzaddik, and the Shechina is in him. And it's almost like an aroma, a fragrance that you want to get closer to. It's not like that. According to the Meshech Chacham, this is a mitzvah for normal people to have a higher level of bitachon. And seemingly the way to do that is to become closer to those people who are on a higher level of bitachon and learn from them. That's why I'm learning this Meshech Chacham, because it would be very hard to take a Gemara and the Rambam out of the Meshech Chacham. Meaning the Meshech Chacham knows what the Gemara says and the Rambam says, meaning the way to perform this mitzvah is by connecting to Talmid Chachamim. It's hard to say that the mitzvah is only having a higher level of bitachon, right? That would be pretty big chiddush to say that the mitzvah is just telling you have bitachon. So my understanding is, the way to get to the bitachon is via your relationship with the Talmid Chacham. What do you think? Yeah, you hang out with Rabbi Yudin, you'll have more bitachon. It makes sense, right? So you hang out with these people, you'll have a higher level of bitachon. So I think that's the way to properly learn, you know, this interpretation. So far, we've learned a couple of different pshatim in this mitzvah. But again, the key line of the Meshech Chachma is, when you really do this mitzvah appropriately, what you're going to do is really understand that Hashem wants to provide for you. He wants to protect you. And that is an amazing thing to live with. To live with the knowledge that Hashem cares about you. That's the whole point of this mitzvah. Ubo tidbak is to come to terms with the reality that you have a loving father in heaven who cares about you. And in the same way that a boy trusts his father, you know, certainly if the father is actually a king, so you're not going to worry as much. It's not going to worry. He says a beautiful line. As a adam batuach v'no. You're going to be trusting and you're going to be in a place of kind of relaxation. Ve'eno doeg me'umat le'inyanav. You're not going to worry about anything. You're going to feel secure because you are secure. You're secure. And that's a tremendous level to learn from people who are on a higher madrega. Meaning, like my Rebbe, Meir Tursky, the man does not worry. He doesn't worry. Right? He taught us a lot that a Baal Bitachon does not worry. Right? And, you know, not only do you learn that from the way he acts, he specifically taught me the lesson, right? And I think for us, what Adam was referring to, Dr. Clark, that the more you live like this, so the more you impart the lesson onto your children and your grandchildren, right? Meaning, imagine you not knowing Shas backwards and forwards, not being a black belt in Kabbalah, not being the Lubav Terebi, but you teach your grandchildren the Eibishter is watching out for us, you know? That's what we're talking about. And we can all do that for our children and our grandchildren. You know, like the generation of Europe is kind of, unfortunately, you know, the reality is that they're kind of dying out, literally. But how many people learn from the European grandparents what it means to live with Hashem, right? I mean, there was just a certain talk in Europe that just God was with you. God was with you in your day. And you didn't have to be a Talmud Chacham, right? My grandmother, Allah Hashem, you know, she lived with Ribono Shelom, you know, in her Yiddish, in her, you know, whatever it was. Like Moshe Weinberg says, you know, they say Tzena Rena before they went to bed, you know, like, it's a lifestyle that you're imparting onto the next generation, regardless of how much Rambam you know, regardless of how much Shas you know. All right, yeah, you hear it, Robert, making sense to you? Yeah. Okay, all right. Now this is all the first page of Shulchan Aruch, by the way. Everything I've just said is summed up in the Ramah. What did the Ramah say? The very first halacha in Shulchan Aruch in the Ramah, Shivisi Hashem Enegdi Tamid. Right, we know that the Pasuk Tehillim says, "I always put God before me, always." So says the Ramah famously. That one of the major points in the Torah is to always realize that you're in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. He says, you know why? Because when you're with your family, you kind of let loose a little bit. And when you're with the king, you don't say certain things, right? You have a refined nature. So someone who realizes that they're always in the presence of Hashem, so they're going to step up. They're going to have a certain busha, an element of embarrassment, of we'll say sneers of modesty, and that's the way we should act our whole life. So it's interesting to put these things together, that when we might have thought that we're speaking about a little bit of an esoteric mitzvah here this evening, like the Veikus Bashem. So according to the Meshach Chachma, we're really just speaking about living a lifestyle where you realize that Hashem's watching you. That's what it means. That's a little bit of like a dry litfish approach, right? So we'll just try to, you know, summarize before I conclude with some more contemporary writings of Rav Kook and Rav Soloveitchik. But again, if you ask someone, what does it mean to get close to Hashem? So, you know, Breslev and maybe more Hasidish, the Chevra, you know, they'll say things along the lines of talking to Hashem, living, you know, being in touch with Hashem, right? So we did not find that per se this evening explicitly, as much as the classical sources in the Rambam Ramban say that you want to, you know, figure out how real Talmidei Chachamim live their lifestyles. And you want to emulate them, and specifically that will lead you to Emunah and Avas Hashem, stuff like that. The Meshech Chachma kind of brought it down to us and said, no, it's not so lofty. Everyone on their own Madrega will have a certain level of Bitachon, and that's really what this mitzvah is. And the more you realize that Hashem is protecting you, that is Deveikus. It's a perspective. It's living with a perspective on life. It is the mitzvah of Bitachon. Bitachon equals Deveikus. That's a chiddush of the Meshech Chachma. So that's like approach number two. Not so different. Approach number one, we didn't learn this evening, is, let's say, the, you know, Breslev, Hispodius, you go to a forest and you speak to Hashem, and that's called connecting to Hashem on a mountaintop. And and there's beauty in nature and stuff like that. That's, let's say, approach we didn't speak about this evening. The classical approach in the Rambam is cling to Talmid HaChamim. And approach number three is just the more bitachon you have, and the more you realize Hashem is watching you and you feel secure by that, that is Dveikus. So I wanted to just point out that Rav Kook writes, or he wrote, what's called the Maimar Hador. He wrote a letter unique to this generation. So the Rav and Rav Kook were both very fond of noting things that were unique to the times that they lived in. And they were criticized for that because they were not traditional. And their writings were much more embraced long term because of that, because they were speaking to a very thirsty audience, people who were speaking to the people of their time, and progressively so. Do you know Rav Kook writes? Rav Kook writes that he's witnessing a very clear change. He said it used to be that people were down here and the Gdolim were up here, and there was a severe gap between the commoner and the leaders. And people were just in awe. They were in awe of the immense knowledge that the rabbis had and the way they acted. And you couldn't compare the random, you know, Amma Aretz, say, like in the shtetl, to the Rav of the time. Like the Meshech Chachma is a good example for that, you know. The Dvinks. So imagine like the shoemaker in Dvinks and the Meshech Chachma. Like there was probably like a very big difference between their knowledge and the way they lived their lives. Not to insult anybody who may have, you know, come from a shoemaker in Dvinks. I don't want to insult anybody there. But it says Rav Kook, as the years went on, that gap became smaller and smaller. That the common man might be a Talmud Chacham, and the rabbi might not be so much more knowledgeable. And we see that in Israel, by the way. You go to Israel, you can be a bus driver who learns Daf Yomi on your like sixth cycle, and you could be a rabbi who has never learned Daf Yomi, right? You know, and it's just, you kind of, different people know different things. Some of them are ordained as rabbis, some of them are not. How does that affect this mitzvah? Because if you learn the mitzvah in the Rambam and the Gemara, you're going to say, connect to the Chachamim. And that's the way to connect to Hashem. But what if the Chachamim are not like Rav Neventhal or these lofty people? What if we don't have so many people who stand there? What if they're not accessible? Am I going to wait online to meet Rav Chaim Kanievsky? I have to fly to Bnei Brak to connect to Hashem? So that's why I think this Meshech Chachma is so crucial, that it's a team effort to bring the Ribono Shalom down. Because the reality is that what? You know, what? The rabbis are so much, such on a much higher level. So sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends on the community, right? You think.
And they're not always as accessible. You know, the big ones that you want.
Right. Well,
they've got their followings.
That's right. That's right. So granted, there's always what to learn from a rabbi, but I would argue right there in the same way that we can connect to Hashem through connecting through the, let's say, community rabbi. The community rabbi would be the first one to say, I also connect to Hashem through the Baal Bat, right? Peter Weissman, the way he lives his life. You know what this man did for me? I would not live here if not Peter Weissman. We came here on our Parabah Shabbos. One of the worst Shabbos in my life, by the way. It was the Parabah Shabbos. One of the only redeeming qualities of that Shabbos was Peter Weissman's hospitality. It was that we ate by the Brahms Friday night, which is a good meal. Hummus Basar, I don't know if I'll ever forget that meal. Yeah, Ariella Brahms, God bless her. And we ate there, and my kids were sleeping, quote-unquote, by the Weissmans a few doors down. I went to check in the middle of the meal to see if my kids were still sleeping. Peter had been throwing out, I think, the second diaper
evening. I threw them out. I didn't change.
He had a few diapers in his head in the garbage bag, and my kids were, let's just say, very much awake. But Peter did not know me at the time. Him and Carol were just swooped right into Bubby and Zadie action. So there's a tremendous amount to learn from people who are not necessarily the rabbi. And then I found out that he was Rabbi Shlomo Weissman's father. You know, and then I, you know, all of a sudden, you know, this is not Stam. You know, he talked to Adam Karp, Rabbi Karp, you know, on Fox News. And Stuart Rubin's dissertations. We're talking about serious people here, you know, and I mean it in jest, but it's not a joke, because the truth is that the community creates a tone of spirituality. And that's what emerges from this Rav Kook, and it's not my chiddush. It's in the Rav's writing. I'm going to quote to you Rav Soloveitchik verbatim. This is Rav Soloveitchik on the sixth parasha in the Masoras of Rav Chumash. Our sages interpreted the commandment of cleaving to him to mean cleaving to those who know him, right? Cleaving to God is linked with cleaving to other people. Ah, so I thought it was like this very contemporary Rav Kook chiddush, that it's more of like a communal effort these days. Says the Rav, it was always about connecting to humans, right? Connect to rabbis in order to connect to God. Here's what the Rav writes. The group with which man must form ties is an ideal society. The society of those who know God. This principle totally denies the mystic's assumption that ecstasy is possible only in a state of absolute withdrawal. Like, we don't believe in this immense meditation, and the way you connect to God is by being alone. No, the opposite. How do you connect to God? By connecting with other humans. On the contrary, says the Rav, Judaism states that God joins with the individual only in the merit of the community which is loyal to him and seeks him. So the Rav has a chiddush there, right? Because what do the Gemara say? How do you connect to God? By clinging to rabbis. Now, if you learn that Gemara in the most extreme way, like the Ran, it means the lofty, holy rabbis who are like Nevi'im. Says the Rav, no, the opposite. The Gemara means connect to humans. It doesn't mean the rabbi who's on a throne, who's inaccessible. It means a community of B'nai Torah. That's the way the Rav is understanding that. That you connect to people who live a Torah lifestyle, and that will create Devekus. So what an amazing shot, and I think this is really the reality we're living in now, is that Devekus in the year 2021 means that every community needs to set the tone where people understand what it means to live a lifestyle of connecting to Hashem. And I think Baruch Hashem, our community is doing a very good job of that, where children understand what proper priorities are, what's not allowed. Torah needs to be in the center, Chesed needs to be in the center. And it's an amazing thing that it's actually not our hashkafa, that the individual goes to the tzaddik to connect to Hashem, but it's much more of a team effort where we all become the tzaddik to teach the next generation that this is what it means to connect to Hashem. So obviously we need the Rebbe Yudins to be the ultimate role models, you know, and there will always be a level of leadership that is necessary. And people certainly will make mistakes, and we have to, you know, learn not to repeat them. But isn't it amazing to be empowered to understand that we are the ones who will bring the Ribono Shel Olam into our community? We should all be zoche to do such and live a lead a community of the Devekus Bezras Hashem.